I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. David Trek joins me again. The longtime political observer and pundit has appeared on this program since day two, literally the second guest ever. There's been much going on politically these last several weeks, with more to come. John Twigg provides analysis elsewhere on this website, and David joins me now to provide his own views on the election of Christy Clark as the new leader of the BC Liberal Party, succeeding Gordon Campbell, thereby soon to be British Columbia's 35th Premier. David Trek is a former NDP MLA as well. He was a special advisor to the Premier of BC in the late 1990s and early 2000s. We'll also look ahead to the NDP's own leadership race, those running, and more. His website is at strategicthoughts.com. Please welcome back to the Plante on the Line program, David Shrek. Good morning, Mr. Shrek.
Hello, Joe. I didn't know I was your second guest ever.
You were, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a long time. That's about nearly 7 years ago, 7 years in August. So.
And we aren't a day older.
No, we're not, no. So the election of Christy Clark, what does this mean to the NDP? And I was thinking about when all this happened last week, and she was proclaimed the leader. Was she elected because of the candidates running, she was the best against the NDP, say, in a subsequent election?
Well, it's always hard to say. I always am fond of the trivial answer that she got elected because she had the most votes. and so it is in all elections.
Yeah.
Why that is probably is different in the minds of every one of the people who voted for her. I would not have bet on her having beforehand. I thought that either Falcon or George Abbott were going to win. But I have been wrong before. What is noteworthy about Christy Clark's victory, and she deserves full credit, and we have to give her a chance to see what she does. I think she'll have plenty of opportunity both to have successes and failures between now and the next election date. But I think one of the things that's noteworthy is that she won by just 52%, and it took three ballots to do it. When you go through on a writing-by-writing basis, not only did she have only one MLA endorsing her during the campaign, but after the campaign, on a writing-by-writing basis, in 25 of the writings held by current sitting Liberal MLAs, they did not vote by a majority on the third ballot to support Christy Clark. So she has an enormous amount of work to do to build unity within that party. Power has a habit of building unity. As long as they think she can win, they will be solidly behind her. If she starts making mistakes, cracks will appear.
Has she, from your sense of it, has she built some unity by bringing back Blair Lekstrom into her caucus?
Bring back Blair Lekstrom was a major victory.
Yeah.
She deserves full credit for that. I did not think she'd be able to accomplish that so quickly.
Yeah. Will there be an election before 2013, do you think?
From what Clark says, I think there will be. She said that she does not feel committed by the set election date legislation. I don't think it's feasible to have an election before September of this year because she has to get the HST out of the way. There could be a federal election. There are municipal elections in November of this year?
Yeah.
So the most likely time for an election, if she's going to call one by surprise, will be the spring of 2012. And whether or not she does that will depend on whether the polls indicate that she stands a chance of winning. Regrettably, under her leadership, it looks like we're back to the old style of the government using the election calendar to suit its own political advantage.
Does a change have to happen with the legislation, the mandating the fixed election dates, or can she just call one?
No, she can just call one.
Yeah.
The legislation says that an election has to be held by 4 years after the date of the last one, May of 2013,
yeah.
But it leaves the option open to call one earlier.
Does Christy Clark, as leader of the Liberal Party, does that change the NDP leadership race, or did it change the leadership race there?
Well, it has not yet, as far as I can tell, and I don't think it will. All of the candidates will be out there saying that they are the best one to deal with the BC Liberals holding them to account and with Christy Clark as Premier. I'm sure a poll will come out. It will probably show that Mike Farnworth is still the most popular, and the other candidates will probably dig into the details of the poll and say, well, if you look at this nuance or that subset, in fact, I can do just as well. I don't know whether the party members who will be voting will pay any attention to those arguments. I think that they will attend the various all-candidate forums, listen to the candidates, and make up their own mind. The NDP is blessed with three very strong candidates.
That's Adrian Dix, Mike Farnworth, and John Horgan, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
there are two others running, and they deserve credit for raising money for the party and putting their names forward, but I don't think they can be treated in the same tier as the top three.
Yeah. We'll get to the NDP leadership race in just a sec. I want to go back to something that you mentioned already, the HST, which you say is a concern of the next Premier Clark once she assumes office. Gordon Campbell said there was going to be a referendum in September. Does it look like it'll get pushed up now, as Clark wants?
It looks like there will definitely be the referendum vote on June the 24th. There's a little house cleaning that has to be done in terms of legislation to clear all of that away. That will go through with all party support, I am sure, although there will be some critical remarks made in the course of doing that, but it will go through very quickly, and I expect that on June 24th. Now, what we don't know yet is whether Christy Clark will honor her promise to make that vote the same as the vote on the STV that happened in May of 2009, with both sides receiving equal funding. It looks like she's going to, well, we'll have to see. I cannot imagine that the BC Liberals are going to be very happy if she ends up giving $500,000 to Bill VanderZam to fight against that referendum.
Yeah. I was just looking at the calendar. June 24th is a Friday. That's, mm-hmm. It seems an odd choice for a day for an election or a referendum. Is it?
June 24th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the calendar. I take your word on that, so I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems that, don't we vote usually in the beginning of the week rather than the end?
The usually in general elections we tend to vote in early in the week. In municipal elections we tend to vote on Saturdays.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't think there's any fixed rule for the day.
For day of the week. Yeah. Are you involved in the No HST campaign formally?
No, I'm not involved formally at all. Although I have submitted a brief to the independent panel. And that's available on my website.
Yeah. We exchanged tweets a couple of weeks ago around the time that the recent budget was brought down, and it had to do with the revenues that governments were getting. And I asked you, I guess you had said that revenues in terms of coming in through taxes like the HST have gone up. And I asked you whether it was a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, the
you're an economist. Can you explain that to us?
The government maintains that it is revenue neutral, that it's raising the same amount through the GST as it did through the PST after you subtract all of the rebates and some of the tax cuts it implemented as part of implementing the HST. The early data shows that that is roughly true. And you have to keep in mind that the total revenue before rebates is of the order of about $7 billion, I believe. Maybe it could be closer to $8 billion. There's about $3 billion involved in various rebates and tax cuts. The amount of money raised by the PST was $5 billion. It looks like the HST is going to be raising about the same amount. Now, some economists believe that in the long run, the HST would grow faster than the PST because the broader tax base grows at a faster rate. However, in my brief, calculated some different scenarios and showed that over a 10-year period, the difference in growth is not going to be significant at all. So I think it's fair to say that in terms of revenue to government, it's six of one, half dozen of another, which of the two tax systems are used. So those that say, well, we have to have the HST because of the revenue it raises are wrong, because replacing and going back to the PST raises the same amount of revenue.
Now, do you think the people in the province are getting used to it at all, paying this tax?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And people can't remain angry forever. Now, whether they are accepting it is another question. I think that life has gone on, and people haven't seen any catastrophe, so there's probably some acceptance. Whether that means people would turn out and vote in favor of a tax, I doubt it, because people are still very much aware that on any service, you're paying 7% more because that service was not previously subject to the PST. And on a few goods that were exempted from the PST, you're now paying 7% more. In total, the cost shift from businesses to consumers varies somewhere between a minimum of $600 million to as much as $1.6 billion. And it will be years before there's adequate data to really test whether the shift is closer to $600 million or closer to $1.6 billion. One way or the other, there's a massive tax shift from business to consumers as a result of implementing the HST.
So we pay, what, 12%, right? 5 and 7?
12%.
Yeah, and in Ontario, I think they pay 13, do they?
That's correct.
Yeah,
The HST rate is lower in BC than it is in the other provinces that have a harmonized tax. Of course, Alberta has no provincial component, so it is the lowest of all. And Manitoba and Saskatchewan have just a provincial sales tax.
Yeah. I had dinner with a friend from Toronto the other night, and she was saying that the sort of outcry over it in Ontario is not as much as it's here. I mean, everyone hates paying more. But why do you think it is
Ontario went through a bit of a consultation process before mm-hmm. implementing the tax, so it didn't come as a total shock. You did not have a situation in Ontario where just 2 months after a provincial election, where not a word was said about a major tax change, the government by surprise said, "Oh, by the way, we are going back on everything we've said for the last 10 years, and you're going to have this major tax hit." So there are big issues in terms of credibility. In Ontario, restaurant meals were always subject to the provincial sales tax. They were exempted in BC. So one of the biggest hits in terms of bringing the HST in BC is to the restaurant sector. In Ontario, that wasn't a factor. So there's some major differences.
And where's the NDP on it? I mean, have the candidates running, have they pledged to axe the tax, if you will?
Every one of the candidates has said that they oppose the HST. The NDP has not made its position clear as to whether it would play any formal role in the referendum vote.
Is there a candidate? Well, I guess you said Mike Farnworth is the most popular at the moment. Do you see him winning this outright?
I don't know. And the reason I say Mike's the most popular is the polling, both by Angus Reid and by Ipsos Reid, puts Mike in the lead. I think that's primarily because as House Leader, he had the most name recognition probably of any of the MLAs, including of the leader, Carol James, at the time. I don't know whether that will give him an advantage in terms of winning. The John Horrigan and Adrian Dix and Mike Farnworth, they've all been my friends for 20 years. They're friends of each other. They get along very well. And on the public panels, they can almost deliver each other's lines. The party is going to have a very hard time choosing between them.
There's an issue that we've been reading about online in the last couple of days about Nicholas Simons. He's another candidate running. And it has to do with his passwords to social media. Where are you on that? I mean,
the party has a legitimate need to make sure that no one has anything in their background that's going to emerge after the fact and embarrass the party. We've all seen from all different political parties that people do foolish things on social media which turn up later, and candidates have had to resign because of that. The party is trying to do due diligence to make sure there are no surprises. In the case of Simons, the party asked for passwords to social media sites, and Simons has said that that's a major intrusion into his privacy, and he doesn't want to comply with it. I think it irritates me that this has become an issue and taken attention away from the overall campaign. In fairness to Simons, he does have some legitimate points, and I think a compromise will be worked out between the party and Simons on the issue.
Christy Clark has to, I guess, get into the House. I guess that's one of her first priorities once she becomes Premier. When do you see a by-election happening?
I think she could call it as early as the day she's sworn in as Premier, presuming that Gordon Campbell steps down at that time.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if we have a by-election before the end of April.
And do you have a sense of where that'll be? It'll be in Vancouver, I guess.
I would think that it would be in Vancouver, Pointe Craie.
Yeah. Will the NDP run a candidate in a by-election like that?
I would expect the NDP to mount a strong campaign. I would not expect the NDP to simply step aside.
That courtesy that we see federally, that won't apply here?
I don't think so, no.
No. Is there a sense of who will run against her? I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But whoever it's going to be, they better make up their mind in the next week or two.
Yeah.
There was one rumor, and I think Bill Thielman tweeted to the fact that he might be willing to do it. I don't know whether he was joking or serious.
Yeah. He'd be a good candidate, wouldn't he?
I think Bill's very articulate and a very bright, capable guy.
Yeah. The other name that we've been hearing is Patty Backus, who's a school board trustee here in Vancouver.
I have not heard that. I'm sure she would also mount a strong campaign.
Do you think Clark will overcome this talk of a split between the so-called Free Enterprise Coalition?
As long as she doesn't make any mistakes, power will bring people together. What unites them is a desire to keep the NDP out and to cling to power. And as long as there's nothing to fight over and everything's going well, they will cling together. As soon as she goes down in the polls or starts making mistakes, there will be rattling at the edges of that coalition.
We're seeing sort of the rumblings of the BC Conservative Party, this other thing called BC First. Do you think they'll benefit at all?
Well, what BC First and the BC Conservatives and all of the other parties registered in BC, including even the Green Party, suffer from is a lack of strong leadership. No intent to offend Jane Stirk, but the fact is that the third-ranked parties, other than Liberals and NDP, don't have organization, don't have strong leadership, and don't have funding. And they have to overcome those problems if they're going to be credible.
Let's depart, David, for just a sec from sort of day-to-day political stuff and look at sort of big-picture historical stuff. What did you, what do you make of this sort of the revitalization, I guess, for lack of a better word, of Bill van der Zem's image over the last couple of years with the opposition to the HST and the sort?
Well, I'm not so sure I'd say it's been revitalized. If you listen to Keith Baldry and Vaughn Palmer, they seem to revel in criticizing him and poking fun at him. But I would say that Bill van der Zem is the same Bill van der Zem I've known for, well, I ran a quarter of his ministry when he was Minister of Human Resources, it was called at the time. I was responsible CEO for all the social services in Vancouver. That was the late 70s. Time flies. I guess that was over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He loved a microphone then. He loves a microphone now. He's a very, very personable guy, has a knack for dealing with the media. I think he's thriving on the fact that he's front and center in the media again. I strongly disagree with what he and Thielman and Chris Delaney have done on these recall campaigns. I think that's a waste of time and energy, and they should have put it into educating people about the problems with the HST rather than fighting recall campaigns. I think Bill van der Zem will fade from the political scene once again after June the 24th.
Yeah, and the recall, that whole thing, is that dead now, do you think?
Well, I think in the news today they were announcing yet another recall campaign will be launched. I didn't see which writing that was in. I just don't agree with it. I think it's a concept that's foreign to parliamentary democracy. I don't think they're going to succeed, and I think it's using up resources that could be better used elsewhere.
David, it's nice to talk to you again. I appreciate your time as always.
Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us. The websites for more, the website for more, strategicthoughts.com. David Schreck on the line from his home in North Vancouver. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.